G'day, g'day. Welcome back to the Misfits Podcast, rated 5 stars on YouTube by Roach. He says, Swagger, please talk about epic historical events.
Oh, we do this all the time.
We talk about epic, it's epic history with Swagger.
Yeah.
Where we talk about historical events that we don't really know very much about.
Yep.
Maybe we kind of remember them from learning them in middle school or whatever the fuck.
World War One, Balkan powder keg. They were all like, no, I want this land. And they were like, no, I want this land. And they were like, oh, royalty? Okay. Well, I'm a Bulgarian. Was it Bulgarian?
I forgot. I don't know.
I'm going to be honest.
No, Boston. It was Bostonian. No, I think it was Boston.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean, guys? We don't know what we're talking about.
I genuinely don't
know. It sounds like the old...
Bosnian. It was Bosnian. Bosnian. Dude.
Bosnian Bill?
Gavrilo Princip was like this Bosnian fucking dude that was like, oh, fuck the king. I think he was like an anarcho socialist or something. I think he was just an anarchist. But he basically was like, I'm going to get this gun. These guys are going to come behind a motorcade and get all killed Archduke Ferdinand and his wife. Austria-Hungary was like, fuck this. Bam. And then Germany was like, war? We could dominate the world? Yes. And then they went in. And then Russia was like, oh, let's kill like 3 million of our own men. Go. And then America was like, yeah, not my problem. And then back to Britain, they were like, oh, yeah, oh, I've got to do something about this. And then, you know, they sent their man, and then India was like, and then they invaded, and then they all had a little bit of a fuck. And then America was like, all right, we'll get involved. And then, bam, war over immediately because America to the rescue. That was epic history with Swagger.
Yo, why
write that down.
Write it down.
Why does Germany always try to conquer the world and shit, man?
Well, the first time they failed and they got fucked for it and they got so mad, they were like, we could do it again. We could give it another try. It's like all or nothing.
Right.
We went all in.
You've already tried taking over the world. What are you going to be, just the person that failed at taking over the world? No, you're going to get back up and you're going to do it again. Germany's a fucking motivated country. We love Germany. You know who else we love? Toby on the telly. She's here.
Hi, I'm here.
She's here. And do you have anything quite as spectacular for an intro as Swagger's?
No, I can't match that.
No. Well,
I don't know anything about history.
Well, what do you know?
Not much.
Oh, yeah.
Can't read.
Can't read.
Yeah.
That's new to me. I thought you could read.
No, I've said it quite a few times. People just seem to think it's a joke.
Right. But you're actually illiterate.
Yeah.
Well, read my lips.
Yeah, see, I can't read.
Yeah, well, it was very transphobic, so it's a good thing.
Fuck.
I'm Fitz. I'm also here. I'm just a guy in a chair.
Are you interesting?
I can be, you know.
Why?
Honestly, I struggle with that every single day, Toby. I don't
understand the point. Why be interesting, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Life's better if you're boring.
Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. Keep your head down. Never learn a thing.
Boring people can make friends easier.
Exactly.
True. With other boring people.
Yeah.
And then they just go around being boring.
There's a word for that.
What?
Normie.
Yeah.
And then a slave who works a 9-to-5 job.
An unawakened mind.
Unenlightened. Unenlightened.
Not like us. Yeah. We're enlightened. We have a podcast. We say things.
I think you guys should take the red pill.
Right? Take the red pill?
Take the red pill.
Right, which is the pill that lets you, you know everything.
Yeah, it's a hard to swallow pill.
Right, but the red pill also has a connotation associated with, you know, highly aggressive, you know.
What? Where is this going?
You know, like the red pill, isn't that like kind of like the kind of overly alpha, like, you know, male
you take,
type?
Yeah, you take the red pill and then you realize that women only love you if you have a facial structure predetermined by your genetic code. And if you're a sub-8 male, then you should just hit rocks with pickaxes and slave labor.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you don't matter. Women won't find you attractive.
Yeah.
You know, take the black pill.
I don't know if they...
I think... Wait.
What's the black pill?
What's the black pill?
The black pill goes even deeper, guys.
Oh,
I don't know if you're ready for this black pill stuff.
Because, I've, like, brushed with this culture on the internet of the red pill. I've never heard anything about banging rocks. I just thought they hated women.
And they were
very bitter about it.
Well, no, they don't hate women. They hate themselves so much that they hate women.
But they
women.
Internalize that as hating women.
Yeah, because women are the center of all problems.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yes, and they're also unobtainable in their eyes, even though they so desperately want it on a biological level.
Well, exactly.
Right. You know, but in reality, if they just took a shower and maybe, you know, trimmed up a bit and had an inkling of confidence, they could probably get laid.
That's the black pill. The black pill is, you know, actually not being a piece of shit who sits on Reddit all day and complains about his situation with the black pillar.
Oh, so like a normal person.
The black pillar, he goes, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm stupid. Book, gym. Well, you can't really fix the ugly part.
Wait, so
it's a self-aware pill.
Yeah.
It's the pill that's like, look, I am not who I want to be, and I'm going to do something about
it. The black pill frees you from the red pill.
Wait, but why did people take the red pill in the first place? Why does it want that?
Because it's the first step to being black pilled.
Wait, but do people that take the red pill, do they know that they're on the red pill?
Well, no. No one's actually taking any pills, all right? They're not real pills.
I mean, you take the blue pills.
I take blue pills every day. I take two of them.
Well, that's the opposite of red pill, because like the blue pill is turning into a woman, turning into the thing that
is that actually what a blue pill is?
It's something that they despise the most. To become something that, you know, if you can't beat them, join them.
Right. Toby was basically such a big incel.
Yeah.
That she was like, listen, I think the only chance of me getting laid is if I become a lesbian.
Exactly. Someone accused me of that once.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
On a Reddit comment, which is like, you know, it's like saying like everyone's accused anyone of anything in a Reddit
that's
comment.
That's true.
It holds no value whatsoever. But I do understand that you read it and you're like, hey,
Jay,
that's not true.
Come on. That's not.
I'm going to hang on to that for months, maybe years.
My pills are blue, like unironically.
Exactly. Mm. You take the blue pill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is all bullshit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought this was real.
Oh, there's no such thing as a black pill?
I'm sure there is.
As a concept?
I'm sure there is.
But the red pill thing is real. Like, this is a concept that men on the internet talk
about.
This
whole red pill mumbo jumbo. It generated online. I think it started on 4chan, like the R9K board.
Yeah. Right, and became like a genuine culture.
Yeah.
Because there are genuine, you know, I've encountered these subreddits where these guys just hang out and talk about the shit all the time.
Oh, it was like r/incel, and that guy banned, and then they changed it to r/braincell. B-R-A, like just cell with one L at the end.
Well, brain cell implies something that they don't have, so I don't know.
Well, that's the thing.
Is that the joke? Is that
I don't know.
I don't want to piss off any kind of online community and get them coming with pitchforks to the podcast. That's a lie. I totally do want to do that.
I've never understood the incel stuff, because it seems like an incel knows they're an incel and is okay with that. But like, surely if you know you're an incel, you'd be like, oh, wait, that incels are bad.
Well, in order to participate in an online forum that centers around incels, you have to think, oh, that's what I want to be, or that's who I am.
That's true.
But I think it's like they're just identify with it. They're at such a low point. They're like, oh, well, here's a community of men that also struggle deeply with women and emotional connection and cleanliness and whatever the fuck else they struggle with. And, you know, then they kind of just get indoctrinated into a culture
of
hate. It's a hive mind and it's an echo chamber. And next thing you know, they're watching YouTubers who cover this kind of stuff, and they're, you know, all sorts of...
Like us.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yeah.
You know.
The thing is, like... The biggest thing that I don't like about Reddit is that it really, like, most subreddits are just giant echo chambers.
Yeah.
Just because if you say anything that goes against the popular opinion, regardless of whether or not it's correct or like reasonable, people just downvote you to all hell. Nobody will see it.
Mm. That also has a strange effect where sometimes you'll say something against the popular opinion and it gets upvoted because people are like, yeah, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about this other shit and I'm going to, you know, upvote this
true.
Thing that's controversial, a little edgy maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Depends on the community. But go on with your point.
Well, that was really the point.
That was the point.
That's why I don't really...
Well, that's the echo
Reddit.
Chamber effect, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Is that, you know, you can go to, you know, we've talked about this before, but like I used to be a big browser of Reddit back when I was a teenager. A lot of us.
You were a browser?
Yeah.
I was a browser.
Ooh,
yeah. Bit of an incel, too.
I wasn't Chrome. I wasn't Firefox. I was nowhere near that level, but I was definitely a bit of a browser. I was
like an Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Bits Explorer.
I was an Internet Explorer. I was just kind of paddling along. Like, oh, look at that. Oh, that's porn. That's exciting.
Okay.
That makes me feel funny.
Oh.
What's this? Reddit. Oh, it's a community where back when I was first on Reddit, it was just all advice animal memes where it's like the top text, bottom text with a duck. You know, and I remember looking at that at 13 and being like, this shit is gold. Like, I found my people. This is hilarious.
This is millennial shit right there.
Yeah.
Millennials.
That's some old gen memes.
I've tried getting into Reddit multiple times.
I can't do it.
Can't do it.
I can't do it anymore either, especially our subreddit. God help them all. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but post shit on there, because every now and
please.
Again, I'll look at it.
Yeah, I appreciate I do appreciate the effort.
I look.
I appreciate it. We all look. Yeah. You know, we all look at our subreddit, all right? God. We all look. But yeah, you know, like, what were we talking about?
I don't know, you being a browser.
Oh, yeah, a browser. Oh, yeah, and I don't know. We were just talking about Reddit and the effect of the echo chamber. I don't know. I want to talk about incel culture because that's actually interesting.
It is. How would you... Okay, say you were a like a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're supposed to prescribe somebody that says, I have low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I'm angry at myself. I'm angry at the people around me. I have no real friends. All the girls that I talk to dislike me. Mm-hmm. I'm fat. I'm gross. I have no motivation. I'm depressed. What do I do?
Become a woman. It's way easier to get laid.
I mean, I think like...
That was a joke.
I think the problem... And a lot of people today are falling into this position is that people get depressed for one reason or another. Maybe it's because of trauma in your past. Maybe you weren't treated very right. You know, you just got beaten down by the world and, you know, you just think, what's the point? You become cynical. So you stop trying. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of just decay into this person that has no self-respect whatsoever. And the longer that it goes on, the longer that you're depressed for, you know, you just kind of, your self-respect just kind of erodes.
The more
because you're not looking after yourself. Yeah. You're not like, oh, I should... You lose some weight or go for a run. Well, I'm not doing that. Or, oh, I'll just indulge myself all the time with dopamine and pleasure. And, you know, it's very easy to overindulge with dopamine and pleasure these days, like way easier than ever before. Yep. So you have a lot of people just consuming, and maybe just suppressing the thought inside them that's telling them, hey, man, like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, this shit is not, you're not who you want to be. Like, you're not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you're stuck. But that thought is like, that's the depression, that thought, like for a lot of people, I think, and I say this because I've been there, is like, you know, if you're not respecting yourself, there's nothing to you. You're mm-hmm. just a shell. And you're just trying to avoid that thought at all costs by,
right,
you know, ordering a bunch of food or fucking jerking off or any number of
pitfalls.
Drugs,
alcohol.
People fall into all kinds of pitfalls. And the longer you stay in it, the harder it is to get out. Because maybe you've tried getting out of that pitfall many times and you've failed. So you think, oh, well, I'm going to get my shit together. Well, I tried to get my shit together last Wednesday, and here I am in the same position, and I've done this like a million times, you know, which is, again, that eroding of self-respect. It's like, oh, I tried, and I failed, and like, I'm not getting anywhere. What's the point? And then you reach the rock bottom, which is like, I'm never getting out of this. Yeah, I'm just pathetic. And I accept it. I'm never going to find a girlfriend. I'm getting older. I'm ugly, blah, blah, blah. All these negative thoughts you tell yourself, you're spiraling. You're at rock bottom, and how do you get out of that?
And then you're at that point where you're like, there could be a magic wand. That I wave this magic wand, and all of a sudden, all of these problems that I have disappear.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it probably wouldn't work on me. It's probably not worth it to go and try it, you know.
What magic wand are you talking about here?
Well, no, it's like
it's like, well, I could try that magic wand they got on the head, but even that probably won't work.
No, it's like the idea that that there could be something that instantly fixes the problems that you have, but you're in such a pit that you just come up with excuses for why that wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, it was like a study or something similar where people who are like clinically depressed, like the worst depression, like year long, like chronic,
like they're
depression,
stuck deep in it. Yeah.
I believe it was a study. I remember we spoke about this like months ago, but the idea was somebody who's in that pit of depression, if they were presented with a wand where it's like, you know, you can wave this thing and it will, you know, make you like 10 out of 10 attractive, like fix all of your insecurities, like give you a stable job, give you a girlfriend, give you a life that you actually want. Mm. Those people aren't inclined to wave it because either they feel like they don't deserve it, and that it's meaningless, or they won't just, they just don't. It's like they don't have even the motivation to be like, that just won't work. And they'll rationalize it in their head. It's like, this is, you know, this, it just wouldn't work.
Which is when you know you're deep in it, is when, you know, you don't think you deserve it. That's the fucked up headspace to be in.
Because even when people give you a hand to try to lift you out of it or to try to nudge you in the right direction, then you just don't accept it.
Yeah.
And because it's almost like you're punishing yourself because you feel like you deserve that.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the longer that you stay in the state for it, the worse that just becomes. Because it's like, well, I've tried so many things. So many people have tried to help me. I've let so many people down. You have all these negative thoughts that are just built up, crushing down in you all the time. But, you know, I think there is a way out. I think you just have to start. You have to want to get out, which is maybe a difficult thing for a lot of people. Well, you have to truly want that. Because the thing about wanting to get out of it when you're in that state is that that's a terrifying feeling, because that's what makes you feel like even more of a piece of shit, is when you know you could be better, but you're not, you know? But if you just ignore that and you just keep being like, you know, letting yourself down, but like kind of not feeling that like that, you're just kind of numb. Well, that's safer than feeling like, oh, I could be so much more, but here I am fucking up again.
Well,
you know, they're sick of that feeling, so they abandon it.
It's that whole journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But imagine, you know, just getting into, you know, this demotivated mindset, you're like, well, if I start now, like, you know, I could probably get out of this in like a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, something stops you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you spiral, and then, you know, then you look at it and you're like, well, what about now? It's, you know, I gained 20, 30 pounds or whatever. It's like, oh, well, now my journey is like, you know, way longer.
Yeah.
And then you're even more apprehensive.
You're intimidated by the climb.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also, you're still falling. Yeah. But fuck, man, like on the day, I would say, and like, I've never been so severely fucked up that I've thought like, I don't deserve to be better or whatever, whatever. But I have been depressed before, and I have had those feelings of like, it's going to take me so long to be better. Like all the things that I want to do are so far away, and like, I can just be comfortable right now. So I'm going to keep going the way I am. And, you know, mm-hmm. I know that feeling of like, I know I should be better, but I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. And I would say the only advice I have is like, the days that come by where you do feel like, I want to do something. Like, I feel like fucking enough of this. Like, if you feel that frustration, you have to seize those days, and you have to go for a run, or you have to do something that makes you respect yourself, you know, like do a thing that you were putting off for ages.
An accomplishment,
something that just, and that could be anything, you know, like a lot of people.
It could be as simple as cleaning your house, cleaning your room.
Or do 10 push-ups, or just literally, you know, anything that will make you feel like, I did that.
Yeah, if you're like listening to the podcast right now in your bedroom, I want you to look around your desk, near your bed. If you see any cups or dishes or utensils that have been there for the last week, and you know that they've been there for the last week, and you look at them and do nothing about it, just, you know, get up from your bed or wherever you're sitting and just take them and put them downstairs and take care of it.
And just be a fucking boss and just be like, look, like, this is just what I do. Like, I'm just going to, I clean up after myself because I respect myself, you know?
And then from
there, you just take it. You just keep taking it. You keep going like, all right, well, I'll do a little bit more. And you build momentum, and, you know, you don't crush yourself again when the momentum slips, but you just keep an eye on it. You keep an eye on yourself, and you just keep fucking going. And like, you know, there's probably a good chance that like you'll fuck up and maybe you'll retract a little bit and whatever, but you have to just like, you have to understand what you really want for yourself and take steps to get there, or you're not going to respect yourself and you're not going to get better. And that's like, that's really the realization, I think, that, you know, got me out of whatever funk I was in, and it gets a lot of people out of a funk there. And it's like, enough is enough. Like, I'm just sick of, I'm actually bored of being depressed.
Right.
Like, I'm done with this. Like, this has gone on too long. It's time to do some shit that I know I should be doing. And then, you just begin your journey. And then you just become more and more empowered, and all that negative shit just starts getting flipped. And it's like, well, look how far I've come. Look at the progress I've made. Look at my relationships now, you know? And fucking boom, boom, boom.
That's a big thing. Yeah. The relationships are a big thing.
Huge thing. Because you shut people out.
Yeah.
You know? You shut people out a lot when you're fucked up. Because you don't want them to be ashamed of you, and you don't want to burden them, and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you start taking those back, it's like, oh, man, like, I have friends. Like, people like me. Like, I'm, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. Like, here's this person that I fucking used to be, so.
And there's also that big thing of, like, when you are in that position and you don't, you know, you don't want to burden people, or you don't want to think about it like that you are burdening people, you can push those people away. To like, and sometimes even like the people that are like closest to you can just get so like hurt because they don't understand like what you're going through.
Yeah.
And it feels to them like, oh, this person's just always ghosting me, or this person, you know, is intentionally ignoring me or whatever. I put all this effort in and I don't get anything back. And, you know, in reality to the other person, it's like, they feel like they would be burdening you by bringing you into it.
Yeah. Which is where that, I think, just
cycles into itself.
It cycles into itself. And that's where just honesty, just fucking reign supreme, man. You just start being honest. You say, look, I feel so bad that I didn't reach out to you like in so long. Like, honestly, I've been fucked up. This is what I've been going through. You talk about it. Almost any decent human being is going to look at that and be like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, fucking thank you for telling me. Like, are you okay? And then that's another
person. They understand that, and then they wouldn't resent you.
And then that's a person you have in your support network, given that they're a good friend, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I mean, if they say fuck you, then
you cut that motherfucker out of your life. Get that shit out of there. Yeah. Anyway, we just kind of rambled into a deeply motivational sort of rant there, bouncing off of an incel topic. But, you know, I feel like there's a lot of young people in that position today. Especially after last year.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, everybody felt this, you know, lockdown depression kind of creep around.
And withdrawal.
Yeah. You know, when you're locked inside and you can't see people, you know, that takes a huge mental toll.
And even without COVID, I think we live in a world where it's easier to hide away than ever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's easier to just retreat into a little world, looking at even when you're out, you're on your phone, whatever the fuck, you know, you're just consumed by something.
Yeah.
It's easy as fuck to hide. You gotta stop hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Stop hiding. You gotta get after it.
What are you doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
Still listen to the podcast, though. I mean, you know, listen to the podcast, you know, an hour out of your day.
But the incel thing's interesting because, you know, being an incel, it's not just being depressed and unhappy with yourself. That's actually internalizing that and turning that into hatred,
into hatred and bitterness.
Yeah, which is like a mad, like, lack of self-awareness. Yeah. But it's unfortunately a pitfall that a lot of people fall into.
It's weird.
And not just men either. Like, you know, people have all kinds of ways of turning their own insecurities into
a projected hatred to, you know, a specific group of people, you know? And I mean, you know, nothing. What's the way I could phrase this? It's always kind of been a thing. But I feel like it's more prevalent in this century, and maybe even in like the 90s to now, like the concept of a bitter virgin, like somebody who's like been a virgin, like and not even just like you haven't had sex with the girl.
Yeah.
Like it's like you haven't even held their hand. You're a handholdless virgin.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, like being 25, never having held a woman's hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're looking at porn all the time and you're like, why can't I have this? And, you know, you're following e-girls on Twitter and replying to their tweets with, oh my God, queen, you're so beautiful, please, like, can I DM you? You know, like, that, like the desperation, like the, and then, like, when they realize, you know, I don't have this, it'll never have this, then it's bitter, it's bitterness, it's fucking slut, fucking whore, like, you see those, like, down bad tweets, a lot of them are fucking fake, but there's a good amount of, like, real screenshots from women online, and it's just like, you know, like a message is like, how are you doing? And it's just, you know, leaving them on red. And then, you know, they're like, you left me on red, you fucking bitch. The women are all the same. You're a fucking whore, slut, fucking, fuck you, cunt, ugly bitch. And it's just, you know, just wild how actually fucking common it is.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, no wonder in this position.
Yeah.
If this is how you're internalizing this shit, like, no wonder.
Like, you know, women, you know, like, you have to, I feel like you need to be, like, a friend to a woman first before that can progress to anything.
But
the thing is, I feel like bitter virgins are so desperate that they try really, really hard, and then when they ultimately get rejected, that turns into, wow, I really will never get, like, a woman, fuck all women, fuck this. I'm going my own way. I'm a man going my own way.
Or even if, you know, even if they do pursue friendships with women, it's always like in their mind under the pretense of like, I want to fuck someday. Which is like a lot of male energy. Like if you're lacking, or if your sex drive is out of control and you haven't had sex and you haven't held a woman's hand, obviously that shit's going to have you amped up, like, as a young man. You know, it's a difficult energy to deal with, I think. But, like, man, like, that desperation just reeks.
No, it's horrible.
And you'll be like, oh, in the friend zone again. It's like, well, yeah, because your intentions were so clear. You know, like, you're never going to get anywhere with that energy. Yeah. You have to, like, genuinely need to learn to like women first.
Yeah.
or what the fuck are you even doing, you know? Man.
You think this is a more prevalent thing in America, I think. I think here in Australia, I haven't noticed a big incel culture. Do you think this is because sex work is so prevalent in Australia that people that are so like wrapped around the axle of like, you know, I need to know what it feels like. I need to know what the touch of a woman feels like and like that. I need that experience. Like I need to get this out of my fucking system so I could finally tell my friends and relate to them when they talk about having sex with women.
Yeah.
And then they go to a brothel and like, you know, they sit on a couch, women come out, they go, you know, hey, how are you? The women that don't want to have sex with you, like, literally aren't forced to. They just go, no thanks. But there's plenty of women that would, you know, for the right amount of money. They pay for it. And then, you know, they have this experience and it's great. You know, the women are fine. You know, they get their pay and like it's
and
just another day
clean,
on the job.
And everyone's happy and healthy.
Yeah. And then they come out of it like, wow, that was the experience and like that was that. And then then they're
or
good.
More likely, oh, that was that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, no, like if it's your first time.
Oh,
like,
your first time.
Unless you're just some fucking turbo chat from the beginning, you're probably like, oh, okay, that was... I guess that was...
Yeah, 5 minutes later, they're out. It's like, wow. You know, I wonder if, you know, like... Because, you know, they have this, you know, the whole, like, pyramid of needs. I believe it was Marlowe. I think it was a psychological term. Mm. Where it's like, you know, relationships, food, water, shelter, and then, you know, like achievements, goals, like job, like meaning, and then like, you know, like sex is like a primary thing, like sex and intimacy and all of that. And when people are deprived of that, then, you know, their life balance or how they perceive things or how they rationalize things in their head goes to shit.
Yeah.
But when you're given an option, a legal like option, you know, for sex work, I feel like that helps.
Yeah.
I feel like that helps.
I think to answer your question before we lose it, you know, whether Australia has less of an incel culture because of, you know,
sex work
being legal. I mean, honestly, I didn't even think about that before you brought it up, but it's a good point.
Right? Yeah.
Like, sex work is great, in my opinion, as long as it's executed correctly. And it's definitely got to be something where a young guy can be like, well, I'll just go to the brothel. It's not even taboo here.
Yeah, you know, it's,
guys
it's
talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys just go to brothels. You know, I don't go to, you know, I've been to a brothel, but I don't like frequent brothels or anything. But you know, it's like, it's common. It's very, very
super common.
And like, it's very common to lose your virginity there. And it's like, honestly, if you're worried about it, if you're a nervous young man or even a nervous old man.
Apparently, the women are apparently very like nice.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're very.
A lot of their clients would be like, hey, it's my first time, and they'll just take care of it. So that's a good thought, actually. Because in America, it's quite taboo.
It's very taboo.
Yeah,
and
illegal.
And illegal
in many
as well.
Places.
You know, women that are, you know, doing sex work in America, now it's all on OnlyFans. Because at least it's safe. At least it's fucking safe. Because you're in your own house, you're taking pictures of yourself where you're comfortable, and then you're selling it to people online. it's fucking pandemic safe. Mm. Like,
that's,
you know,
not.
But the thing is, it's different than actually having sex, paying for sex.
Yeah.
And, you know, in America, I think there's parts of America with legal prostitution. I could be completely wrong, but I think there might be.
I think Vegas has.
Even
like,
if it's illegal, it stays. You know.
You know,
and
there's strip clubs and everything that, you know, you fucking hand them $500 and they go, okay, come to the back room.
Yeah,
but
right.
it's not a regulated industry.
Yeah.
And the problem turns to, well, if the industry isn't regulated and it's not legal and it's not looked after by the government and by officials, then, well, who's going to check for STDs? Who's going to keep that?
Yeah.
What's protecting the sex workers?
Yeah.
You know
what's stopping
fucking abusive pimps and all kinds of shit like that?
Pimps either abusing them physically or getting them hooked on drugs. And then, well, hey, if you want more heroin.
Yeah, fuck.
No, I knew a fucking girl in high school, dude. I used to work at a strip club afterwards. Found out 2 years later she died, overdosed on heroin.
Wow.
You know? whoever was managing her at the strip club got her hooked on heroin. Mm. And that's fucked up.
That is so fucked
because,
up.
You know, that's because everybody fucking loses. The only people that make the money are the pimps, which, you know, you're pretty much fucking kingpins. Just like, you know,
they
renting.
All the power.
Having literally all the power, and taking all the money and just
the girls
paying,
are completely dependent.
Yeah, paying the women in you know, taking advantage of their addiction.
Damn.
Yeah. And I feel like if sex work was legalized in America, I think it would, you know, socially it would do more good than harm.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are really, you know,
against
it.
It would still be very taboo, though, you know? Like, even if it was legalized, it would still be, because there isn't that ingrained culture of it just being like, yeah, it's just a thing that's
there.
It's
also very religious, America. Yeah. Here in Australia, it's not as religious.
I think America is heading towards a much more sex-positive culture, though.
Yeah.
You know, and young people are leading that, and, you know, old people, typically the types that are devoutly religious and might shame you for this sort of stuff. That's going to be a thing in the past eventually.
Give it 30 to 40 years where all the boomers are old and out of power, and you have fresh blood in Congress. They actually make laws. You have fresh blood in politics. You have, you know, actual fucking, like, people that are versed in, you know, the modern, you know, social sphere, you know, to start, you know, like, legal weed everywhere, you know, like, let's start being progressive and following a line and, you know, doing that thing. So I feel like that's where it'll head ultimately.
A lot of like little kinks to figure out. Society's got a lot of kinks to figure
out.
Because,
especially in sex work.
You see so many articles now that are like, you know, the younger generation is having, like, I don't know what the statistic is, but I know that it shocked me when I saw it, like, this much less sex than previous generations. And the reason being is because, well, physical separation being more common because of social media, but also because people are earning less, they're living with their parents. There's a couple other factors that I can't think about what's on my head, but like, I think the economic factor of like, well, it's, we just can't afford housing, like, so I'm still living with mom and dad is a huge
you don't want to bring a girl over and be like, hey mom, hey dad, yeah, this is the girl that I'm gonna fuck tonight. You know, just for the one night.
Exactly. But also it just makes it easy to retreat to that internet porn
addiction.
Like, internet porn, I think, is.
And I mean, with on the subject of like the internet porn stuff, like things like OnlyFans and like cam sites,
right,
are almost like these sort of like pay for intimacy websites to a point where it's like, you know, you can go on OnlyFans and sure, you can just like subscribe and, you know, look at the naked pictures of some woman, but then you can also like send them tips with a message and be like, you know, actually develop this like
relationship
with this person. You just have to pay every time. And it's the same on like cam sites.
Thing that's weird is, you know, this is, you know, a cam site and OnlyFans is very much predicated on, you know, sex, the sexual intimacy, like boobs, pussy, like, you know, show me everything. Yes, I want to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And that's like the raw sexual aspect. But then you have these people, you know, and you know, I'm going to think a little bit before I say this, because I want this to come out right.
Mm-hmm.
As for something like Twitch streamers, female Twitch streamers that, you know, that are online playing games, a lot of the people that fall into this, you know, quote unquote incel category, people that are starved of female attention, people that are starved of, you know, socialization in general, you know, they want, you know, female friends, or they want female attention. They go, you know, to streamers that are streaming games, and they'll, you know, donate $100. Can you say my name? Like, I love this. You know, they'll be like tier 3 subs. You'll be in the community all the time just so that they get that attention.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, putting any blame at all on female streamers, because all they're doing is they're starting up a stream. They're playing games.
Well, it's not just female streamers either that happens with, you know.
True. It happens with men.
A lot of
you know,
male streamers.
Male
I think
streamers.
It really, it's just that longing for a connection.
A virtual
and
friend.
It's the parasocial relationship. It's like, oh, well, I can fulfill this itch. I can scratch this itch I've got to interact with a human being, but I can do it from the comfort of my house with porn on the other monitor and fucking read it over here and, you know, from my nice comfy chair with my big old, my big gulp and my popcorn and my Doritos and just fucking hitting myself with as much dopamine as possible and artificial socializing, you know? It's like, and I'm on Discord over here and I'm chatting with a bunch of people and I'm, you know, that I don't really know.
I'm a Discord mod, you know.
You know, and
hold on, kid, in 1 sec, I'm going to donate to the streamer.
And we got to be careful here because we're not discouraging these platforms or the people that use them. You know, we use them. We use Discord. We use Twitch. We stream. You know, we do all
these
things.
It would be foolish not to point out like the fact that there are people on these platforms that are very clearly starved for attention and for liking, especially on content creator Discord servers. Yeah. When I created my Discord and it went from like 3,000 people, it was like a small, nice, tight-knit community of people that were all friendly. Everyone kind of knew each other. Like, it was very pleasant. But as soon as it blows up to like 100,000 people, like on a single Discord server, like, there were, like, I had fucking problems, like, you know, like, young girls coming in and, like, being, like, super sexual and, like, people taking the bait and then it just being really inappropriate and, like, or, like, the general chat. And, like, I'd be like, the fuck is wrong, like, with you people? But, the thing is, they're all super hormonal, horny fucking teenagers, and they're, like, e-dating.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of blame gets put on the guys for being gross or, like, and a lot of guys are gross.
Yeah.
I just want to say this. A lot of guys
are fucking horrible.
Are super inappropriate online. They don't know how to talk to women. But a lot, you know, women, especially teenage women, are fucking horny, too. You know, everyone's a little bit horny, and they all want to be participating in figuring out sex and, like, figuring out how it works. And they're sexting, and they're, like,
Discord
being suggestive.
Discord
is
the most...
It's a cesspool.
It's the most dangerous. It's the most dangerous place to do that.
Yeah.
On Discord. Because that's when young women are taken advantage of by fucking guys who say, yeah, I'm 16.
Yeah.
No, I'm 12, too. I'm 12, too. Yeah. Show me a picture of you without your top on. And then, turns out this guy is 22, and I'm getting fucking DMs from a mob being like, hey, there's a fucking pedophile on your server, and I have to nuke him.
Yeah.
You know?
God, we've had so many, you and I... And
dude,
I'm sure you as well have had experiences where mods
single,
or something have abused their power.
Every single fucking content creator server, you know, these mods are volunteers. In almost every instance, me, Fitz, you know, Toby, fucking, you know, all these other huge Discord servers, all these other big creators, they had to have had at least one mod that was just abusing their power, getting into people's DMs, getting nudes, and then it's just like, dude... They have to ban you now.
Yeah.
Like, you fucked it all up.
Yeah, and you see it with creators, too, doing it on the
creators
MDM,
as well.
Whatever the fuck. Like, it's just... And it's just lonely people, I think, at the end of the day, taking advantage of what they can because they're fucking lonely and they're wound up and all these sorts of things. But... And it's sad. It's tragic. You know, it's tragic on all parts, I think. But it's... It's a very, very interesting phenomenon. I think an interesting thing about Discord... And be careful not to offend anyone in the audience because I know a lot of people listen to this podcast probably hang out in Discords all the time, and I don't want to make you guys feel like freaks or anything.
No,
because you know a lot of you are very lovely people. We talk to the people in our Discord.
Yeah,
and
there's more rational, sane, like well-adjusted people on Discord than there are freak, sex-driven, pedophile, fucking weirdos. So trust me,
but
we're not talking about you. We're not talking about you.
But what I was gonna say is, I think that Discord. Attracts a lot of socially anxious people because it's a way of getting your social, it's a way of having a social life without having to deal with the stresses of, you know, a real physical connection. And it attracts a lot of hyper anxious people. And I think that you got to be careful because I've spoken to, fans and stuff. I hang out with them on Discord and a lot of them tell me about their anxiety and they tell them I'm a very anxious person. And I'm blah, blah, and they always identify as having a lot of anxiety, and I believe them.
Yeah,
you know, I deal with a lot of anxiety myself. Anxiety is the fucking worst.
But it's when you let the label be part of you, or the problem be part of you.
Yes, it's accepting defeat.
Don't identify with your symptoms.
Yeah.
Don't make your symptoms a part of your identity.
Try not to identify as anything
other
as
than
anything
your, other than. Don't identify as anything other than yourself.
Because it becomes a victim complex. And it becomes like, well, I'm anxious, so therefore I don't have to worry about this because I have anxiety. It's like, well, yeah, you have anxiety, and I understand that this really sucks for you and that it's really hard to go outside. It's really hard to make friends. I know that you've been fucked up by friends in the past or you've been bullied or you've had a terrible experience in school.
Trauma,
number of things, you know. But don't say to yourself, I have anxiety, and therefore it's okay for me to stay inside. Say like, I'm an anxious person, and I'm trying to be better. Like, I'm trying to work on it. Like, because the only way that it's going to get better is if you take steps and confront things that make you anxious.
Yeah.
You just put yourself out there. And I know that's hard. And I'm not trying to like minimize the problem.
No, no.
But it's honestly, you can't fall into a victim mentality where you're like, I'm anxious, I'm so-and-so, I'm blah, 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 and therefore I'm just going to, you know, not deal with these problems in my life.
It's when you use it as an excuse to not better yourself is when it cycles into this toxic identity, you know, like, you know, I'm depressed. Like when you say to yourself, I'm depressed, that's when like it sinks in.
Yeah.
And it's easier for you to be like, I don't want to do this because my depression prevents me.
Yeah. I would say that I identified as someone who was depressed last year.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many days I had where I was like, I should do something. I'm depressed. I'm going to order ice cream and watch a movie. You know, it's like literally just taking away your power with the way that you perceive yourself. Yeah. I'm depressed and therefore I don't have to worry about this.
And
it's like it gives you the permission to be a little bit of a piece of shit.
I think there's almost a culture with like the sort of like Tumblr generation and that where it was sort of like pushing people to embrace their struggles and kind of making it almost cool in a way to be like, oh yeah, I have this, you know? And that was like such, I know that when I was growing up, that was such a big thing.
You see that even with parents bestowing it on their kids, like, oh, my kids that got Asperger's. Oh, my kids got this. My kid is like, has all these conditions. It's like, well, yeah, sure, maybe they do. But like, are you doing your kid any favors by giving them a set of permission slips to avoid confronting what makes them feel the way they feel?
Yeah. Like it's, we're overcoming, we're evolving, or even moving forward.
Yeah, it's like putting the kid in that gifted camp, and therefore it's like, oh, I'm gifted, and I don't have to worry about the same things other kids do, or blah, 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 blah. It's like, it's terrible mentality to fall into.
It's a terrible way to parent.
You got to think of yourself as powerful, but you're down bad right now.
Yeah.
how you got to think. You got to think like, I am so many things, but I'm just a little fucked up right now, but I know I'm going to get better someday. That's how you should think about it.
You should think about it like a broken arm.
Yeah.
It's going to inhibit you.
Yes.
It's going to make it so that things that you otherwise would do with two arms, you know, it would make it harder, make it more difficult.
I'd say it's less so like a broken arm and more so like something that there is like rehabilitation for, you
like
know?
A stutter.
It's like more so, it's like something
sometimes not, though.
That you can.
Sometimes people are just inclined to depression, they're inclined to anxiety, and it's just who they are, you know. Like I have made leaps and bounds in overcoming my anxiety over my lifetime, but I'd still say I'm an anxious person.
Yeah,
it's just kind of my nature. I'm just a little neurotic. I'm just I overthink shit. I'm kind of in my head a lot, but like it's not, it doesn't like stop me. I'm still pushing myself out there, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like, well, I just have, you know, it's like I don't know, it's like getting shot once. And the, you know, the bullet got taken out and it's out, but there's still a little scar there. It's still part of who you are.
Or the bullet's still in you.
Or the bullet's still in you. You know, it's just you carry it with you, but you just get on with it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but also I think it's true what you say. Like sometimes you can completely heal. You can completely eliminate the problem.
I guess it is like more so like working around it and figuring out ways to like manage it and minimize it in as many ways as you can and still do the things that you want to do while having that thing that sort of inhibits it a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. I just realized that we were supposed to bring something up at the beginning of the show that we hadn't. But, you know, I feel like
music makes me feel better.
Music does.
When I'm feeling down, that was a horrible segue.
No, music does make us feel better.
Yeah, it does.
Music is actually a huge part of my life in particular. I always have a soundtrack going like throughout the day. If I'm in my house, there's a speaker near me always playing some music unless I'm trying to focus or do something else. And Spotify actually reached out and asked us to put together a little playlist of our favorite tunes. Well, actually, when I was asked, I was under the impression that it was just my personal, you know, taste. And they were like, hey, could you just put together a playlist? And I was like, sure. And so there's now a playlist on Spotify with a selection of tunes that I threw together that I think you guys are a fan of a few of the songs as well.
It's the Misfits Podcast, Start Select.
If you go on Spotify, you look up Start Select, it should be there right now. It's like a monthly podcast that rotates, I think. So the songs will be on there for a month.
Yeah, it gets curated by a different person every month, I think.
Yeah, and this month we were lucky enough to get it. So if you want to listen to some songs that I think are dope, there's a good variety on there, like hip-hop, psych rock, there's some classic rock, some heavier shit.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out. Start Select, Misfits Podcast, should come up.
Yeah.
Give it a sus.
I listen
to
it.
What do you think?
on the drive to the office. It was very good. I liked it. It was a nice little selection of songs.
Beautiful.
Nice. Epic. Yeah.
Yeah. This whole podcast, I get these things because of my hormones where I get really, really hot when I'm not actually hot.
So hot.
I was noticing it too.
it's like a hot flush. It's something that usually happens to women.
Yeah, menopausal or pregnant or on their period.
Basically when something's like affecting your hormones and stuff. And I get really hot. And then I also, this whole podcast, I've had that feeling.
Wow, you are hot.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, you're like, you have like a temperature.
Okay. I've had that feeling. You know that feeling that you get where your eyes, you feel like you like really feel like you need to cry.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that you actually are sad about.
Oh, well, go ahead.
But I've just been sitting here like feeling like I need to cry for no reason.
Oh my God.
Not upset, not anything. Just like feeling like I need to cry. I've also been really hot. And yeah, it's just this weird thing that happens to me.
Well, are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. But if anyone in the audience was wondering why I was quiet, that's why. But I was trying to be part of it.
You're shipping it enough. You know, don't stress about it.
I heard this really interesting factoid about if you're a woman who's on like birth control, a lot of birth controls make your hormones tell your body that you're pregnant. And so a lot of women, while they're taking this birth control, while they're around men, get very protective and defensive and weird, get really weird around men. And that's because their body is telling them that they're pregnant. And when a pregnant woman is around a man that isn't like their partner, they get very protective and defensive because it's the body's, you know, through evolution, you know, when a pregnant woman is around another man, like they're very protective of, you know, their child and all of that.
Well, think about it like on a chimp level. Like if I was a female chimp and I'm pregnant carrying some other chimp's child, you know, I'm very excited about this child to be, some other strange chimps is right next to me, fucking massive, could tear me to shreds.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be feeling very anxious about that, I would say.
Exactly.
The thing
literally.
So it's like it's like a primal instinct.
It is a primal instinct. And it's caused by the hormones.
Huh.
Birth control's fucked.
Yeah, no.
Like birth control is good for like a lot of reasons. Like obviously, you know, can like regulate your period.
We should speculate, specify that we're talking about birth control pills, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Birth control condoms.
It could be pills, female birth control. So pills or IUDs.
Right, yeah.
You know, things that stink all the way up there.
Basically, anything that messes with your natural hormones.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a big part of what birth control is like really fucky. I think I've probably talked about this on the podcast before, like a while ago, but like a huge thing with people that are on birth control for like a whole part of a relationship, because a lot of people take birth control just to regulate their period. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with them having sex or anything. So they're just on it, you know? Yeah. Like there are plenty of people that have just been on birth control since they're like 16, you know, and it's just normal to them. And when they, you know, eventually, you know, they'll develop connections to this person, and your hormones are such a big part of who you are and like what your body's like desires and all that sort of things are. So like when you are adjusting your hormones, it adjusts your desires and your attractions and all of those things. And it means that a lot of people will get off birth control when they've been with someone for a long time because they want to have a baby. And then all of a sudden, their hormones are readjusting back to what their natural state are, and they're just like not attracted to the person anymore. Or there's just like things about them that have changed because their body's natural hormones are just completely different to what they have been getting for their whole life.
I'm guessing it just takes a little bit of time to kind of swing back, or does it? Are there some instances where it just never returns? They're just never attracted to their partner again. 10 years of marriage and no,
I mean,
I no longer love this
like
man.
There will be people that will, I mean, there are people that are just completely gone.
Makes it way easier if you're just a gay man. Don't have to worry.
I wish
about
I was
it.
A gay man. Every day I wake up, I'm like, God, I wish I was gay. Fuck.
It's fucking scary though.
What, being gay?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
No, the hormones, it is. It is scary that your entire, you know, you love somebody for 10 years and it's like, I'm ready to have a kid. I'm going to have a child. I'm ready to stretch out my fucking stomach for this guy and ruin my body.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Ruin your body.
Tear my vagina to my asshole, giving birth to this fucking frog-like creature. Because I love this man so much. And then as soon as you're like, off, I'm ready for a baby, you look and just like the reality hits you and you're like, oh, my natural hormone state says that you're fucking ugly. Get the fuck out of here. Divorce.
Yeah. Surely like the doctor warns about this though. Well, if they're saying a doctor, he's like, listen, you might think your fella is a disgusting man pig when you get off this.
The symptoms of withdrawal from hormones is nausea, dizziness, headaches, hot flushes, and, you know.
And divorce. I mean, quote me on any of this because, you know, I don't know too much about it. But the way that I see it is that, your body naturally wants you to be attracted to someone that whose DNA is going to work well with your DNA, because basically humans are just like meant to reproduce. So they want to reproduce with the best possible mate, and then if you're on these artificial hormones, all of a sudden you're going to be attracted to something that the hormones want. And if you went once you get off them, the person that you were attracted to may not be a good fit for your for you anymore.
Yeah, you're resting,
and it can just completely change it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Kind of wild. Also fucks up like sex drive and all that, you know.
I'm curious to I would be curious to see what sex education is kind of like for young people these days. I would say young people like I'm old, but I mean like people in high school, you know, because I didn't really get taught shit, frankly.
I got taught nothing.
From my
parents.
I got taught the fundamentals. And, you know, I had a few sex ed class. I think I watched one disturbing video in primary school, you know.
I mean.
I didn't really. I think sex education is one thing, like learning about the biological functions. And then there is the social education around sex, which I think is ultimately more important. Because, it's a fucking weird world to navigate as a young person, especially when you're a teenager and your hormones are all fucking out of whack and you want to be having sex, but it's kind of taboo. And you don't kind of know how to communicate and express how you're attracted to someone and all this shit. I feel like being taught that stuff.
The social aspect of things.
The social aspect of sexual interaction is just so fucking important.
There
hasn't been a lot of guidance for that, I don't think, because sex has been something that's kind of a little hush-hush.
Imagine a sleazy TikTok pickup artist goes to a fucking school to tell kids
hey,
how
kids,
to get women.
I'm going to teach you how to get laid. Yeah. It's like, step one, disrespect them constantly.
Step two, grow a beard and hit the gym.
Eat only chicken
whey
breast.
Whey protein.
Whey
protein.
Whey protein. But that's a side of it that I think is, you know, a part of it, you can never get taught it. You just have to figure it out
for
yourself.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people,
put yourself out there.
I feel like a lot of people that are listening would probably say, well, you don't need to get taught how to interact with people while you're in school. Because as long as you're in school in person and not doing it online, you're going to be interacting with people and you're going to figure that stuff out for yourself. And, you know, you're going to be asking your parents for advice, and your parents have gone through it, obviously. So, of course, they would be able to enlighten you on something.
I think you might be looking at kind of a utopian world where everyone's parents are happy to talk about sex and everyone figures things out for them. A lot of people, I think, just don't really get it. They don't really figure it out on their own or just through trial and error. Right. And I think that might be why we're seeing, and especially with the rise of social media and porn and shit and finding how to control your urges that way. I think a lot of teenagers these days are growing up and just not having sexual experiences in high school, and then they're out in the real world and then they're like, well, what did I learn? Well, I learned that I can find a hot woman on Pornhub and bust a nut or cam girls or whatever the fuck. And I don't really know how to interact and how to make a move appropriately and how to blah, 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 blah. I don't think there's ever going to be a course that's like, here's how you make a move on a woman.
No.
I think it's more just like, I think it's more just like a normalizing the interaction, normalizing talking about it, normalizing all this shit. Like, obviously, it just depends on your environment and your framework.
Yeah.
But I just think it's something interesting to think about because, you know, it's a fucking fundamental need for most people.
I've said this to Fitz a few times recently. I think, talking about sex with your friends is, such a important and fun thing to do. And I think that it's such a great way to learn what other people are doing. Because if you learn everything that you know about sex from like books, your own personal experience and fucking porn, then
porn
like,
is super unrealistic.
Yeah, porn will completely skew what sex is to you. You know, and that's why I think like, you know, talking to your friends about like sex and like things that they enjoy and stuff like that is, can be like so like freeing and fun.
It is fairly common to talk to your friends about sex. I think the problem is that there's so much machoism that gets thrown in there. There's so much lying.
And it's very vapid and exaggerated.
Yeah, dude, I lasted 45 minutes my first time. I was going to town on that pussy.
Yeah, because young people are insecure as fuck.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And most people are insecure.
It's posturing.
It's posturing. Yeah, so it's like...
You know, people don't want to admit their first time that they fucking, you know, prematurely ejaculated.
Yeah.
There's the other side of it, where there's the female side of it, where, like, women are often, like... brought up in a way where they shouldn't, they aren't meant to talk about sex and stuff like that. Mm. And sex, I mean, I don't think it's so much the same now, but I think a lot of, like, to a lot of people growing up, sex is like this very shameful thing that they're like, oh no, we don't do that, you know? Yeah. And, you know, where a guy will be like, oh yeah, I got laid last night, a girl might not want to talk about the fact that she did that.
Mm. Well, you know, this is societal, you know?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Could have been
the cultural thing. It probably changes school to school, city to city. You know, it just depends on your environment.
I'm sure when women are amongst women and it's just girls' night, they're all, you know, drinking rum chata and fucking having a giggle at whatever girl guys they're getting up to. You know, fucking scantily clad. You know, fucking whatever, hitting each other with pillows.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're talking.
I bounced on his cock at 160 BPM, dude. It was lit.
Yeah, I mean,
my pussy's Gorilla Grip, and that's on T.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's definitely
you hear a lot. You hear a lot of music that kind of like.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, especially like female empowerment is huge, which is kind of high. I mean, which is kind of respectable. So
empowerment about sex in general, is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's always been like I feel like more recently it's been talked about a bit where. A lot of people will say that like women are way more talkative with their friends about sex than men are, and a lot of the time. But then there are also the other side of it, of the people that just feel like it is something that they shouldn't talk about.
Yeah, I feel like it's person to person. Yeah. Depends on the group of people and depends on the individual. Some people are comfortable talking about sex, other people like keeping it private.
Like Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. Wet ass P word.
Oh my God.
That whole thing.
That was crazy. You got to wonder if old Benny Boy is just hamming it up at this point when he does stuff like that. When he's
yeah, I don't know.
This is old news. But
I'm sure him and his wife were happy. Doesn't he have kids?
Happy, dry humping away. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I don't fucking know shit about Ben Shapiro. Mm. But the point is,
all I know is that he owns that pussy with facts and logic.
Yes.
He talks to it.
He talks to the pussy.
Well, actually, your instinct should be telling you to get wet at this current point in time.
I am standing before you naked. As you can see, my shrimp cock is now enlarged.
It is now a lobster.
Lobster cock.
Lobster cock.
What does a lobster cock look like?
Red, swollen.
Delicious.
Plump, probably juicy.
Covered in chitin.
Cock lobster. Classic. Throwing it in the mix. Classic.
Okay.
How fucking stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, we never really talk about sex on the podcast, but that was a nice little chat about sex.
I mean, it helps to have energy when you're having sex. And my drink of choice before.
Gotta have a pre workout.
Before
a
sesh. before a sesh.
Sesh with the missus.
Is GamerSubs. And, you know, we did debut last podcast that our GamerSubs flavor is, in fact, Misfits Melon. Honeydew Melon, not watermelon. None of that stupid shit. We got Honeydew.
It's good, and it's delicious.
We
got beautiful.
It's very refreshing.
Green melon.
Yeah.
And by the time this podcast is out, it should be live. We actually just filmed a promo upstairs, which we're not going to spoil, but you'll have seen it by this point in time.
It's worth looking at.
It is really worth looking at. Most likely, we'll already be on our socials.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, @Misfits.
Misfits Twitter and Insta.
It's probably
worth
watching on repeat over and over and over.
It was
smashing
My best performance I think I've ever done. It looks so good.
I can't wait to see how that turns out.
I looked fantastic. A little cold, but really.
Oh,
good.
You were cold, were you?
I was so cold.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was so cold. But anyways, this is going to be live. Misfits Melon should be live by the time you guys are listening and or watching.
And yeah, I would say go to gamersups.gg and buy some Misfits Melon. Use code Misfits for 10% off. And enjoy the best flavor that's ever graced Gamersups.
Mm. That's right. Gamersups.gg, code Misfits. And also check out the Spotify playlist, Misfits Select, or Spotify Select. It should come up. Just look at Misfits Spotify Select. No, you'll find it.
It's Start and Select. Start Select.
Oh, start Select. Sorry,
Misfits Start Select.
And speaking of Spotify, if you're listening to this on YouTube or watching, you can listen to the podcast 1 week early on Spotify.
And watch.
You can listen and watch 1 week early on Spotify. So be sure to head over there if you want a new episode rapidly, because that's the rate they come
out. Yeah, that's pretty speedy.
We got a new set. We're feeling good. Mm-hmm. We're ready to make this podcast fucking great again.
Yeah, the next couple podcasts, we're going to be introducing some more structure and segments, and we're going to make it fun.
We got this big ass projector, which you probably noticed, kind of cozy, but we can put anything up there.
Literally anything.
We got our guy
Reddit.
Mitchell. He's going to be able to show us articles, videos, anything funny that we might want to react to, you know, up here. So that's.
Are we going to give Mitchell a mic?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having him as Young Jamie as long as he doesn't talk too much.
Young Mitchell.
Just blatantly say that we're ripping off Joe Rogan.
Well, yes, I mean, it's very common for it's very common for audio shows to have a producer.
Bit of a producer. He's gonna have more of a role, and you know, this podcast will no longer be a stream of consciousness alone. It'll be a stream of consciousness with Mitchell.
We just want to make it authentically us with a little bit of spice. That's what the Misfits is gonna
add. A little bit of spice, a little bit of oil.
We hope you guys enjoyed listening to this week's episode, and we'll catch you next week. Later.
Bye.
Bye.